Hey, everybody, this is Vindra here. I'm off this week, so we won't be having a typical episode, but I thought this would be a good time to run my chat with Lars Stenkvist, the CTO of Volvo Group. We had a chat right after CES, and we talked about kind of where Volvo Group is headed. This is Volvo Group, not Volvo Cars. It's a whole separate company now owned by Geely. But Volvo Group is still doing some interesting things around transportation. They mainly deal with shipping trucks and logistics and things like that. This is still a company that affects a lot of our lives. We just don't think of it that much. I think we had a really good chat about kind of where Volvo Group is headed. We talked about how the company is pursuing zero emissions, both through electric trucks, but also new technologies like hydrogen fuel cells, and how they're trying to avoid some of the problems other companies have faced. We also dove a bit into automation. Certainly, that's the thing a lot of people are talking about when it comes to shipping and transportation. Lars didn't really have much to reveal on that, but we did have a good conversation about how Volvo is thinking about assisted driving solutions as well, not just full automation. So overall, I think it's an interesting chat for a company a lot of people don't really think about that much. And honestly, this interview is a really nice respite from the news and everything else going on right now. We'll have a full episode next week where we'll be diving into what the heck is going on with Elon Musk and his fingers in the federal government at this point. But until then, check out my interview with Lars. I guess my first question for you, Lars, is how is 2025 and the next few years looking for Volvo Group and for large-scale transportation? Because, you know, in the U.S., we're seeing a lot of car manufacturers and other vehicle manufacturers kind of take a step back from EV. Some of them are even looking back at hybrids because people feel more confident in that sort of like fuel mixture. How are things looking for Volvo Group?
Well, generally speaking, when it comes to the transformation, this is clearly something at the core in our business. The transformation to zero emission transportation is not something that we are running besides our normal business plan. Going into a green transport system is the business plan, is the direction where we are heading. We are investing more than ever into technologies leading in this direction. We feel clearly that we have products available for a lot of applications going to start with battery electric vehicles. But we also clearly see that the volumes are lower than we projected a few years ago. The transformation goes a little bit slower than we would have hoped for. But we see very clearly that this is not a game of changing one product type to another product type. It's a game of a full value chain, that we need the infrastructure in place, we need for certain some incentives in the early days, etc., etc. But we are very, very happy that we are early out in US. We claim to have approximately 50% of the market share of heavy electric trucks. In Europe, we claim to have 70% of the market share. It's impressive figures, and we are convinced that in the longer run, everything that we are doing now in the early days, we will benefit from in the long run because we are learning so much.
So you mentioned that the numbers for electric adoption haven't been what you guys expected. Do you have a sense of why that is? Is it the infrastructure worries? Are truck drivers also worried about, you know, range anxiety the same way car drivers are? Because I can imagine for them, time is money. I've read about, you know, truckers working many, many hours and working really hard to get their things in on time. A long battery charging time would probably get in the way of that. How any signs from your end what the delay is in adoption of electric trucks?
Well, I think that we should be clear on that we have started to electrify certain applications. Mm-hmm. And we have learned very clearly that it's not a one-on-one to exchange a long-range diesel-driven haulage truck with a battery electric one of today. So we are starting with those applications where you are clocking lower mileage per day. But a lot of goods is transported rather short distances. So we can start with a number of applications. If you take, for example, passenger transport in cities, there is no reason not to go for fully electric city buses. That is the only solution today that really makes sense. If you take an application on the truck side, garbage collection, refuse collection, it's a given use case as well, where we see that it's picking up in different cities across the globe. And then you go to distribution applications, you go to regional haul. that is the right now the sweet spot for our products that we have developed, and with the amount of energy that we have on board. We have no ambition today to say that you can or you should go electric on the true long range applications. That is still to be developed, still to be released then. But in those other applications, there we have competitive products from a technical perspective. And we see clearly from those customers, from those drivers starting to drive electric, they love it. Mm-hmm. And many of them, they don't want to go back. It's less of vibrations, less of noise, very comfortable ride. But we have clearly, of course, discussions with customers before they are making the purchase on range anxiety. And it is, to be honest, very much connected to infrastructure. Where am I going to charge? Am I going to charge at my home depot, my home garage? Or do I need some kind of public charging during lunchtime or in the end of the day? So it's very much about this being able to deliver peace of mind to the customers in this transformation.
I also saw the news, I think last year, that Volvo is exploring hydrogen powered trucks. I'm also wondering like kind of where that fits in, because we've reported on hydrogen vehicles from, I think, Toyota for the longest time has been trying to make that work. And there are just so many problems there because it's not very dense and the flammability is a concern. How is Volvo thinking about, hydrogen powered trucks at this point?
We are super clear that we have an ambition to go 100% fossil free by 2040. And I have been very clear on that. In our industry, there is no magic solution. There is no silver bullet. For that reason, we have stated clearly that we are developing three technologies in parallel. We are developing battery electric trucks, where we are already on the market. We are also continuing to develop our internal combustion engines, but then to be suited to run on renewable fossil-free fuel, amongst them hydrogen, meaning burning hydrogen into a combustion engine. But we are also very, very serious in our development of the third technology, which is fuel cells, in our case running on hydrogen. And we have reasons to believe that in the longer run, we will need all three of these technologies. They have the different sweet spots, and it's not only from a technology or application perspective. We believe that we will see differences between different regions in the world when it comes to availability of energy, when it comes to cost and price of energy. Take, for example, charging capacity from an infrastructure point of view. To charge our battery electric vehicles, then you talk about chargers of 750 kilowatt up to 1 megawatt in the future. And to charge 100 trucks in parallel, to charge 1,000 trucks in parallel with those levels, that demands a lot from the electrical infrastructure. We see in many regions of the world, it will be much easier to build out an infrastructure of hydrogen. And then you have local concentrated production of hydrogen, in many cases coming from solar panels. And then you're distributing hydrogen in pipelines or through other measures. So we clearly believe, and we are making very, very good progress, both on fuel cells driven by hydrogen, but also then, as I stated, then combustion engines burning hydrogen directly in the combustion engine. Then. So we believe in hydrogen a lot going forward. And sometimes I get this question on hydrogen and fuel cells, because having electricity, turning electricity into hydrogen, and then on board on the vehicle, turning it back to electricity, I so often got the question, that can never compete with a battery electric vehicle. And that's true from an energy perspective, if your system boundaries is the truck itself. But if you don't have charging capacity available, then that alternative is not a feasible alternative at all to compare with. So everything here is connected to how you define the boundaries of the system that you want to compare.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the difference between like the hydrogen-powered combustion engine versus the fuel cells? I assume like the combustion engine will probably work similar to the way we expect engines to work today, but output water. What would be the advantage of the fuel cell?
Well, the fuel cell has a clear advantage versus combustion engines when it comes to efficiency in turning hydrogen into mechanical propulsion. So higher conversion rate, higher conversion efficiency, better fuel efficiency, engine energy efficiency is definitely on an upside. Another upside on the fuel cells is that that is a pure electric vehicle, mm-hmm. meaning that you have zero emission, or you actually have an emission tailpipe, but there it can, you only get water vapor. A combustion engine running on hydrogen has a lower efficiency, but on the other hand, we'll also have a lower product cost, and we are reusing a lot of infrastructure, both on the product side and most likely on the infrastructure side as well. But it has another drawback, the combustion engine, because since it is a combustion process, you are creating, even though rather low amounts, but you are creating nitrogen oxides, for example, and even very low levels of particulates. So you cannot argue that it is a completely zero emission vehicle, even though we can take care of those emissions. So they have their pros, they have their cons. We think that both technologies will be viable, at least in different regions going forward.
Gotcha. It kind of makes sense having like the different strategies. I think pure EV for more short range local vehicles and looking into hydrogen for longer range things. Can you guys talk about, because like I said, like we've seen Toyota they've been testing this out in California forever. It kind of has not worked out so well for Toyota. Have you guys done anything differently? Or are you thinking about hydrogen distribution differently to sort of like avoid some of those pitfalls?
Well, I don't know so much about their troubles or potential struggles, but what we are doing is that we are confidently going forward. We have, for example, when it comes to development of fuel cells for our certain applications, we have created a joint venture together with one of our main competitors, Daimler Truck, in order to develop specific fuel cells that are optimized for heavy duty trucking for long haul applications. So we are developing, we will produce those fuel cells coming out of that joint venture, because we see clearly that those fuel cells that are available today off the shelf, they will never ever cope with the requirements that we are having on high average power, mileage, life length, cost levels, etc. So that investment in that joint venture called Cellcentric, I believe, will be one key success factor going forward.
Gotcha, gotcha. And we at Engadget also reported on the news about that self-driving semi-truck several years ago. Do you guys have any updates on that? And is that all related to the partnership you signed up with NVIDIA for several years ago as well?
Well, we have several partnerships in place when it comes to autonomous driving. And to start with, I'm very optimistic when it comes to autonomous driving in our industry. If you compare to past cars, if I take it from a private consumer perspective, there is no real business case. And of course, there will be driver support systems. But in our industry, in our applications, that's where you will see the true business cases. And already today we are delivering in autonomous mode. We are, for example, running the operations in a limestone mine or limestone quarry in Norway, where we are operating 7 Volvo trucks trailer combinations in full autonomous mode, 2 shifts operation without any safety driver. So they are transporting limestone from a stockpile to a crusher, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Very successful operation. We are operating that flow, meaning that this is also from a business perspective an innovation. This is transport as a service. We are getting paid by the ton. So that is one vertical that we are exploring. We call that confined areas. Mines, quarries can be other, let's say, easier use cases or ODDs. And now we are on that level that we are scaling those applications to more and more customers. But if you come from the other end or another vertical that is then extremely important, it is, of course, highway operations. And we are true believers in highway operations. And U.S. is really then leading this transition. And in U.S., we have a very, very close relation and partnership with Aurora Innovation. And I think you saw last week that the Aurora Innovation signed up for a partnership with NVIDIA and Continental on their side. So they are providing, Aurora is providing their Aurora driver, the vertical driver, that is then seamlessly integrated into our Volvo VNL Autonomous, where we are then providing a vehicle that is fully prepared for autonomous mode. And that means that we have equipped that vehicle with full redundancy on all critical systems like braking, steering, power, compute, etc. And this is, I dare to say, a top-notch partnership between two of the leaders then, Volvo on our side when it comes to the vehicle platform, including redundancy, and Aurora Innovation from their side when it comes to the virtual driver then. So this is the direction we are taking here, and we are already today transporting goods in commercial operations in Texas, but we are doing so on public roads still with a safety driver on board on the vehicles, and that means that the next critical milestone is the milestone. The milestone then to decide together that we are on such a level where we can remove the safety driver to continue to run autonomous commercial operations on public roads. It is the toughest milestone, but we stated also on stage last week at CES that together Aurora and Volvo, we are making progress towards that milestone with confidence.
Gotcha. Do you have a timeline in mind? 5 years, 10 years, or are you just progressing at this point?
I've learned from others that have promised dates they are going to go full autonomous, but I dare to say that I think it's closer than you think.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see. There definitely have been a lot of criticisms for the idea of self-driving, certainly the way we've seen it deployed by Waymo and other companies in San Francisco. They've tend to just taken over local roads, and they've also run into trouble just disrupting traffic, having accidents. What are you guys learning from the difficulties car manufacturers are seeing with self-driving at this point? How are you applying that to truck and commercial vehicles?
Well, I think that we have made the same analysis. And for me, it's very clear that this use case of highway, what we call hub to hub, so meaning that you're starting your operation extremely close to the highway. It's not just any highway, it's highway A to start with. And you start from entrance 11 and you stop at exit 23. And you have a hub exactly in the proximity of entrance 11 and a hub in the proximity of exit 23. And you go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then if you want to, you can extend that to exit 44 and so forth. Meaning that you can have extremely good grip on the situation. You can have extremely detailed maps. You can have infrastructure in place if you need so. Talking about highway, you have some advantages. Traffic normally is going in one direction. You have several lanes. You can decide that you're only using the right lane and so forth and so forth. So it is a challenging operational domain because it's high speed. It is mixed traffic between manually driven vehicles and autonomous driving. It's heavy loads, etc., etc. But compared to a city center with all kinds of incidents, happenings, etc., it is a rather well-defined operational domain. And that is the reason why I believe that we will be successful there. I have said several times, I don't believe that we, let's say, within decade or decades, we'll see autonomous trucks going around in city centers. And for me, it's also not about replacing all manual drivers. This is a complement. We believe that transport will increase a lot. There are forecasts talking about five times more transport towards 2050. Already today, we lack drivers. So I don't see that this is a problem from a replacing driver perspective. I have said many times that if you have children, I would advise them either to go to university and start to study to become an engineer and start working in our industry, in the trucking industry. It will be exciting. Or to choose to be a truck driver, because we will need a lot of truck drivers going forward, even if I manage to deliver autonomous trucks.
Can you talk about sort of the way human drivers could be assisted by future trucks without going fully autonomous? I'm sure sensors are evolving, the cameras trucks are using, even like semi-autonomous driving, I know is like a big deal now. I actually have a Volvo car that does pretty decent semi-autonomous driving, and that's been really great during highway trips. Is that something you guys are already implementing for trucks with drivers, or are you looking to do more in the future?
Yeah, and I talked about 100% fossil free before. We have 300%. The second one is 100% safe. The third one is 100% more productive. And 100% safe is very much connected to those kind of systems that you're talking about. We are investing a lot. We have a lot of good systems already in the market in what we call the driver assistance systems, where we, thanks to different sensors, mainly cameras and radars, or then supporting the drivers in emergency situations with emergency braking, for example. But also then as you're into lane assist, staying in your lane, different kind of supports to the drivers with one very, very clear ambition. It is to avoid any kind of critical incident because we are serious. When we talk about 100% safe, it means zero accidents with the Volvo involved. So a lot of those kind of systems are being developed and already deployed.
Are there any other, like specifically within those systems, are you guys looking to add more cameras or something? Because I know for truck drivers, the right side is always tough because you can't look over your shoulder like you can in a car and see what traffic is there. Or anything specific you could point to that you guys are adding?
Well, we are adding, we have the advantage of utilizing then a rather big vehicle, both from a height perspective and a length and a width perspective. And so we are adding more and more sensors to it, both side radars, front-looking radars, cameras looking to the front, partly to the side as well. So it's definitely so that we are, if not constantly, then to say, when we're doing model shifts and upgrades, it's always connected to more advanced radars, but even more so, more advanced software that is then using fusion of the inputs from the different sensors then in order to get a better picture on what is really happening then. So more sensors, more advanced software.
Is driver monitoring any part of this? Because I know more cars are looking at your gaze and if you're paying attention or not and alerting drivers when that's happening.
Driver monitoring is definitely something that we are developing. And in parts of the world, it will even be legal demand not so far away. So you will see it as a standard in certain regions within just a few years.
Excellent. Excellent. That's good to hear. That to me, highway driving, like that is the biggest fear, trying to pass a truck or you don't know, you know, how a driver is, if they're fully awake or not. So that's really good to hear. Is there anything else you want to mention in terms of what Volvo Group is doing or how you guys are thinking about the future of transportation? Because this is a really big, I feel like we're in the midst of a major change, both in terms of fuel economy, but also the types of vehicles people are considering. New York just established congestion pricing in Manhattan. So people are also rethinking how you travel there. Is there anything else you want to mention, how Volvo Group is thinking about the future of transportation?
Well, I can say that our vehicles are already today very sophisticated. More and more software onboard, offboard. We have 1.7 million connected vehicles generating data as we speak, meaning that we are sitting on a goldmine when it comes to collective data, where we then can make advanced analytics and support our customers. But we are still, I dare to say, in early days when it comes to software-defined vehicles. But we see that this is clearly the path going forward. And we have recently announced that we are going to set up a new joint venture, an intended joint venture together with one of our competitors, Daimler Truck, with the intended name Coretura, in order to develop a software-defined vehicle platform, hardware, software, up to the level of an operative system. This will be necessary in the future to have as a solid base for the very advanced software stack that we are developing then for the vehicle functions then. So on a vehicle perspective, we will remain fierce competitors, but from a technology stack, we will then use the identical hardware, software up to the operating system level. Hopefully or potentially, this can turn into a standard in commercial vehicles. Let's see where this will take us, but it's an exciting future where you see that in order to stay competitive, it's necessary to team up with also one of your most fierce competitors. So working with the competitor to stay competitive. I think that could be a good ending of this.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. I also had one question that people kept asking me. Will we ever see a sequel to the Jean-Claude Van Damme split video? Are you guys thinking in terms of like that to show off your future technology as well?
Well, even though I'm exercising rather much, I will never be able to do the split. So we have to come up with something more spectacular going forward, thinking about it. But if you go into YouTube, there are a few more very, very spectacular Volvo videos to watch as well. So just as a hint, look at it during the weekend.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Lars. And thank you for the chat.
Super. Thank you very much.